Hey, like I said, I'm up here a little bit earlier than normal today, but that's by design. We are going to have our preaching time a little bit earlier in the service to give us time for baptisms. Actually, after I preach, we're going to have some more time of worship through song and allow you to sing together praises to Jesus again. So we're not cutting that out. We're not cutting out a set of songs. We're just moving it till later in the service. That'll give us time to go back and get ready and do everything that we need to do. In the month of October, we're taking a break from our series through the book of Matthew to talk about a significant historical event in the history of the church. But it's not just that it's a significant historical event. It's that it was a return to the foundational aspects of the gospel of Jesus Christ. On October 31st, 1517, which was 500 years ago, Martin Luther started a movement called the Protestant Reformation by nailing a document to the church door in Wittenberg, Germany. That document was his 95 Theses. He saw that there was corruption and problems and ways that the church had departed from the teaching of the Bible in some significant and important ways. Luther wanted to call the church back to what Scripture said. In fact, the first week of this series, we talked about Luther's conviction that Scripture alone was the final authority for all matters of belief and practice. Scripture alone was the authority, not the traditions of the church, not things that had happened for hundreds of years, not the pronouncements of a church council or a pope, but Scripture alone. And that foundation led Luther to go through the hallways of Christian theology of that day and say, we are missing the point. Salvation is not something that we work for. It's not merited by us. It's a free gift of God. And that's where we were last week. Luther rediscovered that salvation is a gift of God's grace and God's grace alone. In fact, if I was going to tell you the five principles that historians summarize this time period with, you see Scripture alone, grace alone, those are the first 2 weeks. Today, we are going to talk about the fact that we are saved and justified by faith alone. That's the third of the five principles we're going to be talking about during the month of October, celebrating the 500th anniversary of the Protestant Reformation. So I invite you to turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapters 3, 4, and the beginning of 5 is just an incredibly important group of verses that talk about how does a person become right with God. We learned last week that salvation is completely a gift. It's something that we don't contribute anything to. We don't even give God a dollar toward our salvation. He gives it all to us freely. We talked about how our hearts fight against that because we don't like to owe people anything. We don't like to be given things and be in debt to someone, but God has not created a world where we will ever be out of debt to Him. Salvation is completely and totally a gift of grace from beginning to end. That is what salvation is. The way we receive salvation is what we talk about today. Salvation is a gift of God's grace. We receive that gift through faith. Faith in Christ is the way that we receive that. So, as we're going to talk today, we're going to talk, first of all, that we are made right with God by faith alone. Let's see what Paul says to the church in Rome, beginning in Romans chapter 3. Now, there are so many places in this group of verses between Romans 3:21 and 5:5 that talk about faith and belief and trust. And all those are the same idea. I don't have time to read that entire passage of Scripture to us, so I'm going to read some verses, and then I'll tell you where the next verse is to skip down to so you can follow along with me, okay? Let's start off in Romans 3:22. Paul says, this righteousness, what is righteousness? That just means being made right with God. The fact that we can be made right with God, this righteousness is given, how? Through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference between Jew and Gentile, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. He's saying there's no difference. Everybody on entire planet Earth has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and they are justified, they are made righteous, they are made right with God through faith in Jesus. Verse 24, and all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. Does this sound familiar? We spent all last week talking about how we are justified freely by the gift of God. God's grace alone is how we are saved. We are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. Verse 25, God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement. This is the cross, the sacrifice of atonement, Jesus on the cross. God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of his blood to be received, how? By faith. There was a sacrifice for us through which we can be made right with God. It is completely a gift of God, and we can receive that by faith. That's how we receive it. We don't work. We don't earn. We receive it by faith. Let's look down a little bit farther. Look at verse 27. Paul says, where then is boasting? It is excluded. You can't boast. There's nothing for you to be proud about because you're saved, because you are justified. Nothing, you're right with God, but it is not your doing. Boasting is excluded. You see what Paul is saying there? Where then is boasting? It is excluded because of what law? The law that requires works? No, because of the law that requires faith. For we maintain that a person is justified by faith apart from works of the law. Do you see that? Paul says, we maintain that a person is justified by faith, not by works of the law. Those are two opposite extremes. You can either be made right with God because of faith and believing in Jesus, or you can be made right before God by works. And Paul says, it is by faith and not by works. In fact, it's by faith and not by some combination of faith and works together. It is by faith alone. Let's skip down a little bit farther. Chapter 4 is a great passage. We don't have time this morning, but it talks about how Abraham believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. Now, Abraham did things to follow God's instructions. There's no doubt that Abraham did works, but Paul points back to the fact that Abraham was justified. He was made right with God when Abraham believed the promise of God. His righteousness came through faith, and we are just like Abraham. Look down at verse 13, chapter 4, verse 13. Paul says, it was not through the law that Abraham and his offspring received the promise that he would be the heir of the world, but through the righteousness that comes by faith. Do you get the theme here? It's by faith that we are made right with God, not by works. So what is faith? Are you a person of faith? Have you ever heard that term? Like, what does that mean? Are you a person of faith? Well, usually it means like, are you kind of a religious person? But that puts faith into a category of something that some people have and some people don't, which I don't think is really the right way to think about faith. Now, of course, some people do have faith in Christ and other people don't, but all of us have faith in something. In fact, I was going to give you a little bit of an illustration here. I'm going to borrow this if I can get it unhooked. Here, maybe take it from this side. It works a little easier. Have y'all ever seen one of these before? Do you know what it is? Somebody raise your hand. Isaac. A chair. You do know. You do know what it is. All right, so a chair. All of you, I think, in here are sitting in a chair. Dennis brought his own chair, but he's all right. We allow him to do that. We like that too. Landon, is Landon in a chair? No, he's in a baby. He's in a baby stroller. Okay, so maybe one or two people are not in a chair, but everybody else in here is in a chair. Do you know that by sitting down, you are a person of faith? Have you ever thought about this? A chair is an amazing thing. Have you ever seen America's Funniest Home Videos? Have you ever seen a chair break and somebody fall out of it? It's possible, right? It doesn't happen very often. But sometimes somebody's just, you sit down in a chair, or maybe you've been sitting there for 5 or 10 minutes, and suddenly like one of the legs just breaks and you fall out and you dump over on the floor, right? It's possible. It can happen. But let me ask you something. When you got in here this morning, did you take your chair and be like, let me check this thing out? That weld looks pretty good to me. Okay, now I'll sit down. Or did you just walk in and say, there's a chair? All right, it's probably going to hold me up. You didn't even think about it, did you? That's just natural. It's what happened. You, by faith, sat down in the chair. This is what faith is. Faith is transferring trust in myself to something else, the object of my faith. I had faith in a chair, so I shifted my trust in my feet and legs to hold me up and said, okay, my feet and legs are no longer going to hold me up. I'm going to fall, and this chair is going to catch me, right? Because you fall when you sit down. You fall when you walk. That's what like scientists say, right? Walking is controlled falling something, because each time you take a step, you actually fall and you catch yourself. Now, that's getting a little technical, but there's faith involved in all of these things. When you get in a car, most of you got in a car to drive here this morning, either ride or drive. Did you get under the car and check and see, are the brake lines still intact? Is this car going to stop when I need it to stop, you know? Or did you just get in and you pushed the brake and you started up the car and drove down, you know, started going, maybe if you came in the interstate, you were going 60, 65 miles an hour, and then the exit ramp comes on and you're like, okay, let me see if these brakes are working okay. And they do, because you're trusting by faith that something you've seen over and over and over again works is going to continue working just like it has. You can't verify everything in this life. If you wanted to try to do that, you would drive yourself insane. Every restaurant you go into to eat some food, you know, you take your little test vials to make sure the food's not poisoned or something like that. No, you just sit down and eat. We live lives of faith each and every day. We are all people of faith. Faith is simply shifting trust from myself and my own need to verify and accomplish everything that needs to happen in order for me to know that it's right. Shifting that faith and that reliance to something else. When we believe in Jesus, we are shifting our reliance on ourselves to be made right with God, and saying, it's not me that's ever going to do this. I need someone else. And I'm going to rest in Jesus. I'm going to put my full weight on Jesus. My entire eternity rests on him and his sacrifice, not anything that I've done. You know how uncomfortable it is to sit in a chair partially? You know, if I was going to like hover just above this chair because I wasn't quite sure it was going to hold me up, like my legs are already getting tired right now, and they would get tired really fast, because it's not 10% me and 90% Jesus. I relax, and that's when I can finally enjoy the chair and what the chair is supposed to do. You are not saved by 90% faith in Jesus. You are saved when you let go of everything else, every other hope that you have, and throw yourself completely on him. Now, there's different ways people treat Jesus. If I could give you some analogies with this chair, some people walk in and you offer them a seat and they say, no thanks, I'd rather stand. I don't really need to sit down. I'll be okay just standing on my own. What they don't realize is what Paul said back in Romans 3:23, that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. They don't understand that they have a need to rest in something else besides themselves. They think they can hold themselves up and they'll be okay. But the Bible has vastly different news. Then there's other people that say, you know, I'm getting a little bit tired. Maybe I've been standing here for a little while, but I don't really need to sit down. I just need a little bit of help. Okay, I'll just lean on it a little bit. Just a little bit of help. Okay, I'm good. Now my muscles can relax. I'm not so tired anymore. Just like we talked about last week, that God designed salvation from beginning to end to be entirely a gift of grace so that God gets all the glory. God designed salvation to be received entirely by faith and not by works so that he would get all the credit. Here's what we know about faith. Here's a great quote from theologian Wayne Grudem about faith. Faith is the one human attitude that is the opposite of depending on oneself, for it involves trust or dependence on another. This is why salvation, that is completely a gift from God, comes through the avenue of faith. Here's what else Grudem says. I didn't put this on the screen, but it says, Paul sees that if grace is unmerited, then there is only one human attitude appropriate as an instrument for receiving such grace, namely faith. Faith is all about trusting in him, not in myself. That's why God designed salvation to be received through faith. It's a shift from dependence on myself to a dependence on Christ alone. So we are justified by faith alone. Let me show you a little bit more in the book of Romans. Look at Romans chapter 4, verse 16. Paul says, therefore, the promise comes by faith so that it may be by grace. Faith is what enables God to give us salvation as a gift that we contribute nothing to. Move down to chapter 5. Verse 1 says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. You see how closely aligned faith and grace are? In fact, as I was thinking months ahead about this sermon series, one of the biggest things that I wondered was, could I really think of two distinct messages to preach, one on grace and then one on faith, because they're so integrally connected. In fact, early on, when church historians described the Reformation period, they didn't break it down into five solas, five alone statements. They broke it down into three, and they combined that salvation is by grace through faith alone. That was all one thing that came together. But more recently, they've divided it up into five and made them two separate things. And I said, yeah, certainly we can, as we think about the fact that salvation is a gift, and then we need to connect, how do we receive that gift? So there may be some of you today that are looking at that chair and thinking, I don't really need to sit down. And I want you to know that the Bible says, yes, you do. That without Jesus, you are going to be liable. You are going to pay for your own sin. If you sit down in that chair, if you place your faith in Jesus, then Jesus takes that penalty off of you and takes it on himself on the cross. You do not want to bear that on your own. That will be an eternity experiencing God's wrath rather than experiencing God's blessing. There may be some of you that are thinking, well, I'm doing pretty good. I'm just going to lean a little bit on God's grace when I need it. When tough times come along, you know, I'm going to do most of the work, and then God's going to make up that little bit, the little bit that I lack. And I want you to know that the entire book of Galatians, Paul writes that letter to show that believing that salvation is accomplished by faith plus works means that you've missed the gospel, because it robs God of his glory and the graciousness of salvation, that God means to give it completely and entirely as a gift of grace through faith. So you, if you're here this morning and you haven't yet trusted Christ, I invite you to give up reliance on yourself and to sit down your entire body weight in reliance on Jesus for forgiveness of your sins for your entire eternity. That's the only way to enjoy, to experience the blessing that Jesus purchased on the cross and when he rose from the dead. Complete and total reliance on Jesus. You say, well, Brent, if we're saved by only believing, what is that going to do to people? They're never going to do any good things. They're never going to do any works if they think they're just saved by faith. And then, okay, well, I believe in Jesus, so now I don't have to do anything. I can just go live however I want to. I can sin as much as I want to. I can treat people as badly as I want to. But I trusted in Jesus, so I am justified. Well, you know, they dealt with that in the first century too. The biblical writers actually encountered some people that were saying, I believe in God, so it's not important for me to live for him now. What the Bible teaches is that the kind of faith that justifies, when you really make that step of sitting down in this chair, is a life-transforming experience. It's not something that you can just do that and then forget about it. This is something that completely changes your heart and your mind, and there's a growth throughout your entire life. Here's one of the ways that we can think about it. We initially believe, I think the human heart wants to believe, that we are saved either by works or by faith plus works. In fact, this was what the Catholic Church was teaching during the time of Martin Luther and during the Reformation, that we are saved by doing as much as we can do, and then God's grace makes up the rest of it. Faith plus works, and you are justified and made right before God. But what we've seen today in this text and what Martin Luther pointed out is that faith plus works does not equal justification. Faith alone equals justification. But the Bible consistently talks about the fact that we not only need faith, we also have to have good works that go along with it. Faith and works go together, but faith and works are not together the cause of how we're justified. Let me give you an example of how that happens in life sometimes. Sometimes things always go together, but if you mix up the cause and the effect, you can get in some really bad places. For example, when you turn on the engine to your car in the morning, especially like when it's a little bit cold, if you look outside your vehicle, you may see some smoke-looking material coming out, right? Some exhaust fumes, you know, especially like in the morning when you start up, you see it, right? Your engine running and exhaust fumes coming out of your exhaust pipe go together, right? I can't think of any times other than maybe the split second when you start the car and maybe the split second when you stop the car that you have the engine running with no exhaust fumes or exhaust fumes with no engine running. They always come together, right? Make sense? So, what if one morning you said, you turned the key and the car barely tried to turn over a little bit, maybe it turned over some and just wouldn't fire, and you're like, I need to get to work. I've got to do something. How can I get this car running? I know. I don't see any exhaust coming out of the tailpipe. Let me go borrow some exhaust fumes from my neighbor and shove it in my tailpipe, and then my car will get started, right? Because when the engine's running, exhaust fumes are coming out. That they go together, right? It's got to happen. No, you don't do that because you know that one is the cause of the other. The engine is the cause of the exhaust fumes. The exhaust fumes are not the cause of the engine. They come together, but if you get the cause and effect relationship wrong, you're going to miss the point. Faith plus works equals justification is missing the cause and effect relationship. If I could restate that, where we do have both faith and works, here's how I would say it. Faith equals justification plus works. When biblical faith happens, when you sit down in Jesus, when you place your faith in him, when you rest completely on him, you are justified before God. You are made right before God. Your sins are forgiven. You belong to Jesus. And works are the natural result of that happening. They always go together. Faith, biblical faith, and works, they go together. But faith is the cause of works. In fact, there are some Bible verses that point us really well to that. Romans 1:18 says that the righteous shall live by faith. He's going back to quote Hosea there. The righteous shall live by faith. What is our normal method of living in this world as believers in Jesus by faith. It's not just that we sit down one time in faith and we're justified. Now I'm justified. Now I can stand up and do it all on my own. No, we live by faith. We sit down. We rely on Jesus, not only the day that we're saved, but every day afterwards. We live by faith. Not only are we justified by faith, but we continue to live by faith. In fact, later on in the book of Romans, chapter 14, Paul says, whatever does not come from faith is sin. Whatever does not come from faith is sin. Everything that does not come from faith is sin, is Romans 14, 23. Why is that? Because after we get saved, we think, well, I can do it on my own now. Suddenly, we're relying on self rather than relying on God. We're not realizing that these works are things that God has prepared in advance for us to do. We continue to live each and every day by faith and by believing, by simple trust in our God and Father, who is a loving Father. He is providing for us. He is working out our salvation. He is molding us into the image of Christ. He's fulfilling his promises to us, even in dark times, even in times of sorrow and confusion, like we talked about in today's lesson in the Gospel Project. All of these things God is working out, and he says, I want you to trust me. Whether you're a believer from yesterday or whether you're a believer from 50 years ago, live your life in daily trust in me. This is a new way of life, and it's by faith. So we are justified by faith alone. That's how works comes into play, because we're living by faith. Works are naturally going to be produced. Faith isn't really ever alone, but works naturally follow. And as we move into the later part of our service, where we're going to have six of our students baptized today, this is what we're celebrating, that they came to the point in their lives when they realized, I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. They sat down, as it were, in the chair of faith. They said, I believe in Jesus. I trust in him. He's my Savior. I'm going to heaven when I die, as Michael says in the video you guys are going to watch in just a few minutes. They took that step of faith. And they're continuing that by following Jesus' command in baptism today. There may be some of you here today who have never taken that step of faith. You've never sat down in the chair. You've never followed the good works that follow by being baptized and by following Jesus' commands, knowing that that's the kind of faith that justifies, the kind that produces works and fruit. And if that's you today, I want you to be encouraged. I want you to be convicted by the lives of these six students that have made this decision that everyone in this room needs to make before eternity. Before eternity happens to you. Don't wait another day. The Bible says today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did before. Jesus paid the entire penalty to give you salvation as a gift. And he says, all I want you to do is trust me. Will you trust him today? Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for the gift that you have given us of a Savior who accomplished the entire entirety of our salvation, the entirety of our justification, the fact that we are made right before you completely because of what he did. And you ask us in simple faith to trust in you. God, help us to live lives of faith. I know many in this room have trusted Christ already for their salvation, but we're so tempted to look at our own selves and rely on our own power and our own intelligence and our own goodness. We feel like you are pleased with us when we can follow your commands and when we can earn our way in your presence. And you've said that all you want us to do is trust each and every day, to live in simple dependence on you. So God, help us to do exactly what you've called us to do in your word, that we are justified by faith alone and not by works of the law, that there's no difference between Jew or Gentile or any other person in this room, that we are all justified freely by the righteousness that comes through faith. God, we thank you for Martin Luther working through Scripture to recover this truth for your church. We're thankful this morning that we can meet together and we can proclaim this truth together. We can celebrate it. We can rejoice that you have saved us because of the free gift that you have given. And anybody that's not accepted it, God, don't let them leave here today without doing that. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.